Today, with so much uncertainty in our lives, it's understandable to feel stressed, anxious, worried, or frustrated. It's normal, but it's easy to check your stress and get help for your mental health with free resources from CalHOPE. Make a game plan by calling our warm line at 833-317-4673 or try our secure and confidential live chat today at calhope.org. CalHOPE, proud partner of the San Jose Sharks.
He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
Star! Fabian Zetterlund on a one-time pass. Cooks the defense as a kid. Deke shoots. Star! A spectacular rush from end to end.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Okay, off the faceoff. A quick shot there from the point is blocked. Celebrini's line is out there for the Sharks. Wallman keeps it in. Nice job. Swings behind the net. There's Toffoli. Centers in front. They score! Macklin Celebrini. A perfect pass from Tyler Toffoli. But the key was keeping it another point at the blue line. What an effort by the San Jose Sharks. They're up 1-0.
Yeah, I think, we can't take, it was five minors tonight in this league. It doesn't matter who you're playing. It's 10 minutes that you're shorthanded and you have to kill penalties and the stick penalties. We just can't have them. Let's creep back in here, and it's going to be important in this road trip that we don't keep doing it. The 10-minute misconduct, I think Ecky had some choice words for Trevor. It's heat of the moment, frustration. I don't care about that one.
All right, good morning, everyone. How are we all doing as we are back to the regular season for the San Jose Sharks after 2+ weeks off? The last game was on Saturday, February 8th, and then we finally had some action last night as the San Jose Sharks had a finish that was all too familiar for this team this year, their 25th close loss of the season. I keep on going back to this. If the Sharks win half those games, they are a totally different team this year. The outlook on the season is totally different, but it doesn't change the fact that they wouldn't be a world beater. They wouldn't be a true contending team. And so with that outlook, I acknowledge that in the long run, it is better for the San Jose Sharks to be where they are right now, in a place where they are not winning that many games, because once again, it appears they are going to have a very, very high level draft pick, top three, I would imagine. And we will see what exactly shakes out when all is said and done. But for San Jose, the players on the ice obviously are frustrated. The guys in the dressing room were clearly a little bit ticked off after the game. There were some penalties, especially the one that was taken by Ty Dellandrea after he got punched and then was, given a penalty and then taken out of the game. That one was a bit confusing, but overall the Sharks took too many penalties and made one fewer critical play at a critical moment than Calgary did. Calgary is in a very different place when we look in their season, which isn't to say that these games don't matter for San Jose. They most definitely do matter for San Jose, but you look at where the Sharks are right now, they are at the bottom of the NHL, whereas Calgary, they are very much in a battle for a playoff spot right now. They are currently sitting at third in the wild card race, 1 point back of Vancouver, so they have a lot more to play for as we get deeper and deeper into the season. That's, again, not saying that the Sharks don't have anything to play for, but it's just two very different seasons with where San Jose is at this point. So for the Sharks right now, more frustrations. But also, I think if we were expecting them to come out full of energy, they did that. If they came out with what I felt was a pretty good game, I think they did that as well. They were pretty good defensively for the first two periods. They gave up a little bit more space overall in the third period, but I thought they played a good game. Georgiev, he was not the issue. He's had some bad starts as of late, but I thought he played a pretty good game last night. There was nothing particularly wrong with the effort that the San Jose put out there on the ice last night. Like, that was what I kept on coming back to. There was nothing problematic with the way they played. There was nothing problematic with the game that they overall went out and tried to play on the ice. You didn't like all the penalties. That's how it's going to go sometimes in the NHL. That is the one aspect where you could say, well, they gave themselves a bit of a difficult situation over the course of the game, but I didn't think that it was so disruptive that it didn't give them an opportunity to win. And that's just the way that it goes sometimes. I didn't love all those calls, quite clearly, as nobody ever does in the NHL, but it wasn't one of those games where I'm thinking, oh, those are bad, sloppy, stupid penalties. It was, some of them was like, I didn't love that, but it's not the best call I've ever seen. When all was said and done, the Sharks gave up one power play goal, and with that many trips to the box, I'm not too upset about that. it was just one of those games. They didn't do themselves any favor in that regard, but I was not overly frustrated with the penalties they were taking when all was said and done. Yeah, you'd like the count to be lower, but I don't know. They were not all what I would consider perfect calls by the officials. That's neither here nor there. But for San Jose, it's, again, a constant reminder of what they need to do in the future to win games. You look at, Henry Thrun's penalty there where he puts the puck over the glass and they get to the delay of game. That's one of those ones that simply cannot happen if they want to be a good team in the NHL. And I talked about it last night on NBC postgame. It's better for the Sharks to learn these lessons now. Learning in sports, in life, is a painful process. And that's not to say that these guys collectively aren't pros, aren't individually great players, aren't capable of making the right play at the right time. However, I do think there is a process, and especially right now with San Jose, when you have a lot of young players out there on the ice, where you are going to see mistakes being made. Not everybody's going to be Macklin Celebrini, where they are pretty much always in the perfect place at the perfect moment. There was a play for Colin Graf where there was a shot and he just was a step slow in reacting to a rebound, whereas you compare him to somebody like Macklin Celebrini would have already been following that shot ready for the rebound, or a cagey veteran like a Tyler Toffoli who knows exactly how to, step up in those moments. Those are learning experiences. You would hope that the next time that Henry Thrun has a puck along the boards late in a game, or that Colin Graf is watching another one of his teammates coming in on the rush, that he's going to be following the shot as opposed to be standing there. Those are the things that you learn at this point of your career. Those are the things that you have to figure out how to do it so that you can make the plays later in your career and be consistently performing. Tyler Toffoli, he's had a lot of goals lately that have come off of his own, second, third chances off of his own attacking shots. He puts himself in the right position. He stays with the puck. It's not just that he's able to be in the right place at the right time. He's taking the shot and keeping his eyes on the puck and keeping on whacking at it. I think that that's one of the things that we see consistently with great goal scorers in the NHL is that they're going at the goal. They don't just take a shot and stop. They're on the puck and they're whacking and they're hacking and they're trying to push that goal into the net when all is said and done, because they're not stopping until either the play stops or the puck crosses the goal line. That's what it takes to score. Colin Graf hasn't learned all those lessons yet. Will Smith hasn't learned all those lessons yet. Will Smith, he had some great opportunities last night. I thought there was one on a breakaway where hopefully that's something he works on in the offseason, because we've seen him on the breakaway multiple times this year where he's not been able to put it in the back of the net. He is going to go into this offseason knowing that he's got to be able to switch it to his backhand a little bit more fluidly on the rush, that he's got to be able to pick out a corner where the netminder is not to be able to figure out or look a guy off and then go five hole. He's got to figure these things out. But in this season right now, it does not particularly matter, and I'm not trying to be inflammatory in that sense because every game's matter, but it doesn't matter in the sense that the Sharks are vying for a playoff spot right now, that the Sharks are vying for home ice advantage, that the Sharks are trying to give themselves the best seating possible. That's not where they are in this timeline right now. They are at a point where they are trying to prepare themselves for the future. They are getting another great draft pick out of this season for the future, or at least I would assume. For all we know, there could be a trade. If they don't get the number one pick overall, or if they win a bunch of games and end up going down, maybe they trade something. I don't know. I'm just pointing out the potential of that possibility, but the Sharks are playing for the future right now. Everyone knows it, and I think it doesn't mean that it's any less frustrating or disappointing when you watch and they lose, but the Sharks are not playing for the here and now in the sense that it's trying to line up for what happens in April and May and maybe June of this year. That's not where they are. Right now, they are preparing for the future. And honestly, when you watch Macklin Celebrini and his movement and his instincts out there on the ice, that goal early in the game, he's out there off the wall. He then watches the puck and starts making his way towards center ice, getting on top of the crease, wide open. I mean, his just overall vision and awareness and knowing where to be. Hopefully that's the thing that other free agents in the league see and say, yeah, San Jose, they have the potential to turn things around very, very quickly, because Macklin Celebrini, it's not like he isn't learning in real time as well. He just is at a higher level for so early in his career. And as he does continue to learn, he's going to be even better. I mean, he's at the lead of the goalie or the rookie goal scoring race. He is the likely Calder winner. You take away the 12 games that he missed this year and he's on pace for roughly a 30 goal season. And that's in his rookie campaign. And I also think that if the Sharks had a little bit more talent around overall, he might have even more. But the point is that he is a superstar in the making, and superstars in the NHL, in professional sports, they have gravity. And when superstars come to a team, it makes everybody else better. It makes players want to go there because they know they can come and be a part of something special. Their numbers are going to go up. They're going to be a part of winning teams. They're going to get paid more because of that. That is my hope out of this entire season of San Jose, is that people see the potential from a Macklin Celebrini and say, yeah, there's a lot going on there. I can go play with him like Tyler Toffoli has and continue to put up great numbers. Or if you're a younger player, maybe in the William Eklund stage of your career, you can think, yeah, that's somewhere I want to go where I can take the next step and have the evolution of my career. You're also probably looking at Will Smith and thinking, for a rookie, that guy is a very, very good player who is not very far off from being a superstar himself. I know you're looking at Will Smith's points total and saying, well, come on, Ted, he's, you know, not where Macklin Celebrini. I don't care if he's where Macklin Celebrini is right now. I care that Will Smith is showing me by his awareness, by his playmaking, by his vision, by his overall skill set, he has the ability to be a superstar player in the NHL. Just because he is not Macklin Celebrini right now does not mean that he won't be a very, very high-level player. We've talked about, you know, other tandems in the history of the NHL. You don't have to be Gretzky or McDavid or Sidney Crosby, for instance. You can be the next great player on that team and be a superstar in your own right. And I'm not saying that we should expect exactly for Will Smith to be a Dreisaitl or a Messier per se. However, I do think that when I watch Will Smith, I say, man, he has got a lot of skill that's going to allow him to be a great player. Just in the same way that we look at other great players around the NHL. Not everybody has to be the number one overall talent. But if you watch these guys and their ability to combine with other talents, their ability to make things happen as rookies, you cannot help but be excited for what's coming next for San Jose. And I also think that Colin Graf has great opportunity in the NHL to be a great player. I also think that Yaroslav Askarov, I think that I liked what I saw with Shakir Mukhmudulin last night. Everything that I'm seeing from the Sharks' young players gives me hope for the future. Young players put to the acid test of the realities of the NHL as it exists at the end of February are going to be exposed. Henry Thrun, I've liked what we've seen from him. He made a bad play last night at a bad time. It does not define who he is as a player. It was unfortunate. I'll definitely give it that. And I would hope that he doesn't make that play anytime soon, but it happens even to great players. You know, I believe Brent Burns did it one time in a playoff series for San Jose or in a critical playoff moment. That happens. It's going to happen to every player in the NHL at some point. Bad plays happen, but you hope to learn that there would be more care out of what happens next for San Jose. We start ticking the boxes of what San Jose did right last night. They had 29 shots on goal, which, considering how low some of their shot totals have been this year, and this was their first game on the ice in 2 weeks, nearly 30, roughly 30 out of that 29, yeah, I'll take that, because the Sharks have not always been able to do that consistently, and they only got outshot by 7, 36 on goal from the Flames, a team that's in a playoff race right now. The Sharks won the faceoff battle. They won 37 versus losing 28. That's a 57% faceoff win rate. I'll take that. They lost the special teams battle, and you can say that's the one goal difference in this game. All right, I'll acknowledge that. They were in the box a whole lot more. But we look at the hits, 22 to 23. Blocked shots, 23 for San Jose, 20 for Calgary. There's a lot out of this game that we like from San Jose. And I think that what they were able to do in terms of the energy, in terms of the way they played, in terms of the way that they were able to respond different moments of the game, I don't walk away from this game thinking, ugh, that was a bad performance. Now, it might not set up well for San Jose in the way they play tonight, because they're going to be going up against Winnipeg, a very, very good team who, you know, overall is having an incredible season. What are they, 40-14-3? That's a tough battle for San Jose on the second night of a back-to-back. But I come back to the learning aspect for San Jose. I remember the Sharks of yore, the sexy Sharks, as Drew Remenda likes to call them, they would go out on the road and on back-to-backs, they would win. And they would walk away from a seven-game season-long or six-game season-long, however you want to classify it, road trip with a win. It would not be something that was some daunting moment for them. It was a 500 road trip or something like that. That would be seen as a negative for the Sharks. 500 road trip right now for San Jose is seen as a great accomplishment. I'm not saying that to mock. I'm saying that's the difference in realities from being a contending great team and being a team that is figuring out where they're going for the future. There is light at the end of the tunnel with San Jose that you see in all these young players. So that, to me, is what I keep on coming back to, is what I appreciate. To me, the most negative aspect out of last night was the fact that Timothy Liljegren got injured, because you don't want to be dealing with injuries on right at the start of a road trip. I imagine Vlasic will slot into the starting lineup for tonight's game. The other aspect out of this one that I didn't care for was the Ty Dellandrea play. And, you know, this is where I just get a little bit confused, is how he walks away with a penalty out of that play. He gets sucker punched, somehow gets called for a holding out of that play. And it's just kind of like, really? Is this the way we're looking at it? We can review this and watch it to see that he got hit in the head and he's got to get taken a look at for a concussion, but we can't review it to see that maybe he shouldn't be getting called for a penalty there. I don't know. It's something that the league needs to correct. They've talked about some of these corrections, and we'll have the Board of Governors meeting as well this offseason. They'll talk about some rule changes and way they want to do reviews again. I think penalties need to be reviewable, and there needs to be some relative discretion. And I think that that's something that the NHL needs to do, because fans all watch it on TV and they think to themselves, well, what am I watching here? This does not harmonize with my interpretation of the rule. And I don't think it's that the refs do a bad job. I'm never going to be one of those people that says, oh, the refs are terrible and they're leaning one way or another. What I think is the issue is the inconsistency, because it's not always called the same way, and that causes frustrations with fans. They see it and they go, well, that doesn't line up with the way I saw that on the ice, and it wasn't called the other way. And there were points during the game, and we've seen it all throughout the season, where one team gets called for one play that looks very similar that's called to another. I think there has to be an error of reviewability about these. But to that said, it's got to be, you know, you got to pick your spots. You don't want everything to be a complete stoppage of the game. And my whole thing about any review that happens in the NHL or the NFL or Major League Baseball or Major League Soccer or wherever, you got a minute tops. If you can't figure out in a minute, you go with the play on the ice or the playing field, whatever you want to call it, for whatever sport you're playing. And that's just got to be over it. But that one in particular, it just kind of was like, really? He's going to the box after that? Puts in a clean hit, then gets sucker punched, and he's going, and you're calling for, you know, a holding before that looked like it was not really the right call? I mean, that's just a level of frustration for me that I'm not going to particularly understand. All right, let's get into how this game went down. It was Macklin Celebrini striking first for San Jose, putting the Sharks in the lead early on.
Okay, off the faceoff, a quick shot there from the point is blocked. Celebrini's line is out there for the Sharks. Wallman keeps it in. Nice job. Swings behind the net. There's Toffoli, centers in front. They score. Macklin Celebrini, a perfect pass from Tyler Toffoli. But the key was keeping it in on the point at the blue line. What an effort by the San Jose Sharks. They're up 1-0.
A goal scored by three of your most productive players all year long. Jake Wallman fighting Tyler Toffoli, who gives it to Macklin Celebrini for his 19th of the year to give the Sharks a 1-0 lead, just 3:41 into the game. But 4 minutes later, roughly, it would be an old foe who evened things up on the power play, Mr. Nazem Kadri, who tied it up at 1 for San Jose. Then Kevin Rooney, just minutes into the second period, would give Calgary a 2-1 lead. But the Sharks would not let Calgary get away at this point. I thought this was really indicative of how well the Sharks were playing, especially their defensive coverage and some big saves that we saw from Georgiev over the course of this game. We just saw the Sharks playing a very, very hard-nosed game throughout this second period. Their coverage was good. They were not giving up a lot of open ice. They were contesting pucks. They were contesting passes. They were closing out on guys. I liked what I was seeing overall, but you know, the Sharks just couldn't find a way to break through. That didn't come until early in the third period when Tyler Toffoli had his 21st of the year, assisted by William Eklund and Shakir Mukhmudulin.
Leads Celebrini cutting into the zone, moves to the middle, checked by Coleman, but poked it over to Toffoli on the left boards. Back to the point man, and a slap shot by Celebrini just went wide. Kept in by Mukhmudulin in front. Toffoli, the shot, save, rebound, score! Tyler Toffoli gets his own rebound and backhands it home, tying the game 2-2. With 18:06 remaining in the third period, it's Toffoli's 21st of the year.
2-2 at that point, and that really seemed to ratchet up the intensity of the game at that point. Things had lulled a little bit towards the later stages of the second period, but the early third period goal to tie things up from Tyler Foley led to some nice back and forth play. Overall, tension started flaring. You saw a little bit more pushback on both sides. But then it was Joel Hanley who broke through, giving Calgary a 3-2 lead at the 13:28 mark of the game. Once again, Nazem Kadri in on the assist, as well as Johnny Huberdeau.
Winger grabs in the right corner after that for Calgary and sends back to the point. Hanley keeps in, throws it toward the goal. Save made, rebound. Uh-oh, they score! Well, there's Joe Hanley in front of the net getting his own rebound. The Sharks had basically a situation where they were outnumbered right out in front of the net. Hanley jumped in as the defenseman, the third guy. Thompson was paying attention to Huberdeau on the play. The Sharks couldn't quite get the rebound, and Hanley banged it in to make it 3-2 Calgary, a 4-on-4 goal.
The Sharks would push to the end, but they were not able to break through to find their way to tie the game, including a great last-second save by Wolf of Calgary, the Gilroy native, who stopped Macklin Celebrini from tying things up.
Extra skater on for San Jose, and they're still killing a penalty, shorthanded. In the neutral zone, Thompson trying to get it. Poked at it. Toffoli swung it back to Ferraro. He backskates. He flips on the left side to Smith, who's on. 20 seconds remaining in the game. Sharks down by one. Smith to the red line. Shoots one in. It goes behind the net. Around Wolf. Weger fed behind the goal. Smith trying to get it. He worked it free. Toffoli holding it. Going back to the point with 10 seconds left. Ferraro back to Will Smith. Time winding down. It's sent toward the net. Behind the goal line, Toffoli. Near side, Celebrini. It's almost over. The shot toward the net. Saved by Wolf with 1.5 seconds to go.
Crafty shot by Macklin to get that off just above the goal line. It was a high angle shot, a low angle shot, I should say. But to find the net like that, it caught Wolf by surprise, but managed somehow to hold on to that clean. What a shot by Macklin there.
Dustin Wolf played a great game, by the way. Yeah, you didn't love that he was denying Macklin Celebrini in the waning moments there. But for the Gilroy native, a Bay Area kid, you love the fact that he's playing so well. He is definitely making a case for himself in the Calder race with Macklin Celebrini, with Mafe Michkov, and a few others. But really, you know, you looked at this kid and he'd had some rough starts heading into the break. He'd given up 5, 4, and 3 respectively, which was pretty much out of line with what he'd been doing recently. And I know it's not always on the goalie, but that's one of the numbers that you look to. And then last night, he only gives up 2 to San Jose. He's only had one loss in his career to San Jose. I don't think he looks at it personally, if anything, of like, you know, he's got to go beat the Sharks. But I imagine that you get fired up playing against the team that you rooted for your entire childhood to say to yourself, yeah, I want to beat these guys. This was the team that I watched all throughout my youth. I want to show all my friends back home in San Jose that are watching this game that, yeah, I can be the guy. I can beat our hometown team. So yeah, you know, in that regard, I think it's probably a pretty cool moment for him. And I love seeing talent coming out of the Bay Area. I think that's pretty fun, especially for Wolf being an undersized guy. Also, just love his game. He's so cool. He's so calm. He's not the biggest dude in the world, but obviously, you know, everybody talks about him just being so relaxed and just being a very intense competitor. Love seeing a story like that. And I think that, you know, we've kind of been in a non-goalie era in the NHL. I would love to enter some goalie eras of the NHL again. I was watching stuff from the late 90s of the Dominator the other day and getting some Patrick Waugh, and just, you know, the algorithm feeds you these things sometimes. And it was like, man, that was a fun time in the NHL. I wouldn't mind us rejoining that phase, but you know, you never know which direction the game is going to take. But yeah, it was fun to watch Wolf do his thing last night. I hate when he does it against the Sharks, but at the same time, you appreciate his overall ability. Let's hear some of this post-game reaction from Tyler Toffoli, who was upset about some mental mistakes, but still noted that the team did play better than their last game heading into the break, which was that 8-3 loss to Dallas.
Yeah, but I mean, there's no excuse. We had 4 practices, good skates, and, you know, it just sucks. You know, I thought we had a pretty good game, better than the one that we played going into the break, and just unfortunate that, you know, we ended up losing there.
They gave themselves an opportunity to win. And like we said earlier, 25th close loss for San Jose this year. I know there are no moral victories, but I keep on looking at the fact that you get this many close games, 25, that's indicative of how many times the Sharks have given themselves a chance to win or get a point out of games. That's what you want. Compared to a year ago, that's not what we were seeing. So in that sense, it is growth. Even though the win totals are not very different than what they were a year ago, the Sharks give themselves opportunity that they did not give themselves a year ago. And that, to me, is what I was hopeful in seeing from San Jose this season. I also think that it's worth noting that, you know, bounces happen in the NHL. Things can go very differently. But if you get a growth from this a year ago, these close losses turn into tight wins. And that, to me, if you add another 24 points onto the 37 the Sharks have this year, and that brings them up to 61 points. That puts them right in the same category of where we look at a team like Calgary who has 62 points. That changes the entire dynamic of the season. Not that I think the Sharks should be there. They have not played well enough throughout the season to win all those close games, but it just shows you how quickly things can change. Tyler Toffoli was also asked about frustrations with the way these last dozen games have gone, and obviously he said it's not very fun to lose.
It sucks. I mean, if anyone says they're having a good time losing games, and I don't want them on my team, to be honest. So, it's one of those things where we just have to keep working and keep trying to find a way to battle, and we need to get some wins.
Yeah, if you're expecting Tyler Toffoli to be happy after a game like that, you have not met Tyler Toffoli before. He was frustrated. Macklin Celebrini was frustrated. Ryan Warsawski was frustrated. There was a lot to be frustrated about coming out of this game, especially considering they made some penalties late down the stretch and they didn't give themselves the best opportunity to get an extra man attacker and really find a tie game when all was said and done. But I keep on talking about the learning moments for the team, and I keep on talking about what they have to figure out going out of this game. And, you know, it's frustrating in the here and now. Obviously, no one's having fun losing, but it's about the future with San Jose, and you hope that they learn from these losses, that they figure out how to take fewer penalties, that they figure out how to take advantage of certain situations earlier in the game. And, you know, the one thing that I keep on seeing with San Jose is an inability to finish. And I think that for the younger players, they're going to figure out how to pick their spots out when they're trying to score goals. They're going to figure out how they want to work a little bit differently when they're transporting the puck, the way they pass, the way they play overall. It is a learning process. I know that we talk so much about this learning process, but you have to think about all the various ways of the game presenting itself at a higher speed that they've never had before. You have to be a little bit more heads up. You have to be a little bit more quick in your decision making. You have to be a little bit more, you know, able to pick out a spot when you're closing down on the netminder, when you're coming on the rush. These are all the things that the Sharks don't do perfectly right now. I mean, a veteran player like Tyler Toffoli, when he gets in, yeah, he makes that quick move to the backhand and scores. You know, Luke Cunningham has never been a pure goal scorer, and so he's had some opportunities on the breakaway where he's missed, but he's also had some breakaways where he's scored. And that could be the difference between a player like him, who's not a star player in the NHL, but is experienced, and with a young player like a Will Smith, who, you know, sometimes has the puck jump over his stick when he's on the rush or just doesn't able to get a handle on it completely and totally well. Those are the things that he's learning about right now in his time in the NHL. You know, we talk about learning so much. We talk about experience. We talk about all these buzzwords, and sometimes I think they can lose their meaning. But when you see these breakdowns in real time, or when you see a guy not finish, or when you see a guy make a bad play or a bad pass, yeah, it's worth pointing out that this is their, you know, this is their first time in the NHL for the course of the season. Will Smith has gotten significantly better. Macklin Celebrini came in at a high level, and he's gotten better. I mean, that's the thing that I keep on going back to, is that not only did Macklin Celebrini come in at a high level, he has gotten better at the NHL level over the course of the season. He has turned into a much better player overall. And I think that that, to me, is that he's learning where he needs to be. The game's speed is probably slowing down for him. And when I watch his, what I like to call his processing power, I see him more anticipating where the play is headed, where it's developing towards. And you watch him break to the right position on the ice. You watch him be at the right place at the right time. You watch him see plays developing and positioning other players and getting guys the puck at the right time. That doesn't happen by accident. And he's only going to get better. I can't think of many players that have had his overall DNA and his outlook on the game that get worse. Yes, guys have career seasons, but it's not just about his pure point scoring. It's about his defense. It's about his ability to gain zone entry. It's about his ability to win pucks. It's about all the different things that he does out there on the ice that are at such a high level. I expect Will Smith to learn how to do these things. Will Smith is going to get stronger. He is going to get faster. The game will slow down for him as well. The learning that is happening right now precedes success in the future, and that's how it should be for all these young players. They should be figuring out how they're going to succeed in a future that is not that far off. I mean, time flies. I know that over the course of the season, you're frustrated about where things have been with only 15 wins and, you know, all the losses that have stacked up for San Jose. But at the same time, you know, it was just October, what feels like a blink of an eye ago. It was just a year ago this time. You know, it didn't feel that long ago. We were watching the Sharks go through a very painful season. This year, there's hope. This year, that you're getting towards something that, you know, we all think is going to be very fun in a very near future. Hopefully big steps will be taken when we get ready for the start of next year. I don't know, but I think the Sharks can move very, very quickly. They don't want to rush things, but I think they have the ability to improve a whole lot when we go from one season to the next. But we are out of time. I will see you this afternoon on the build-up as we get ready for Winnipeg. Pre-game 4, go time 4:30 right here on the Sharks Audio Network. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.